Welcome to Motherkind, sponsored by Stocker. It is me, your host, Zoe Blasky, and this is the show that's going to help you feel confident and empowered in motherhood. I was blown away by this week's guest. I actually didn't know her before, but Maxine Wanneri left me feeling so inspired. And you know those conversations that you have or listen to that change you? This conversation changed me. Talking to Maxine, I remembered what is really important in life, and that is a gift, because in the day-to-day, running around, dropping on everyone, everywhere, working, I just forget. And this conversation felt like shooting up into the stars and looking down on my life and thinking about what is important to me and how much I have to be grateful for. And I know that it's going to do that for you too. I also left this conversation feeling like anything is possible because of the story of Maxine's life. She has an incredible story, from homelessness to Cambridge University to an unbelievable near-death experience after birth to making it her mission to support mothers. This episode does come with a trigger warning because we talk about post-birth trauma. And before we get to it, can you do me a quick favor? You would have discovered Motherkind because someone shared it with you, maybe on social media, maybe at the school or nursery gates, maybe on WhatsApp. We don't spend a penny advertising. We are community grown. So can you pay it forward? Can you send this episode to a mum who maybe needs a bit of inspiration, or to someone who might be struggling with self-belief or putting themselves out there? Send it to them. I really think we need to counter all the judgmental and pressurizing content that is out there with stories like this, stories of inspiration and empowerment in motherhood. So help me to do that. Okay, here's the episode. I hope you love it. I am absolutely thrilled to introduce our newest sponsor, Wild Nutrition, who are the experts in women's nutritional health. Their products are naturally sourced, food-grown supplements formulated by women for women and backed by over 50 scientific studies. I used Wild Nutrition pregnancy supplements with both my pregnancies. I think they're hands down the best ones out there. And I now have the Women's Daily Multivit, which keeps my energies high, which, as we all know, is much needed. So if you want to get started with your Wild Nutrition journey, you can do two things. You can take their 60-second quiz online, which will give you personalized recommendations. Or if you want to chat to a real person, hurrah, Wild Nutrition is offering a free 15-minute consultation with a trained nutritional therapist. I just think, why wouldn't you do that? As you know, I always talk about taking the action to care for ourselves. So what a simple way to build in some self-worth and think about your health for once. So book that free 15-minute consultation. Just go to wildnutrition.com and then use code MOTHERKIND for 15% off your first order. Well, Maxine, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Excited to chat. Well, the first thing we have to talk about is we have to talk about the elephant in the room, which is that I am very known for saying that balance doesn't exist. Yeah. Balance, this idea of balance, makes mothers feel like we're failing and we need to have boundaries, not balance. And then I got pitched your book to come on the podcast, and I saw this subtitle, The Working Mother's Guide to Gaining Balance. And I thought, I have to speak to you because what am I missing? What's your view on balance? Do we have this tension point? Let's unpack it.
Yes.
Why do you think balance is something that we should be going for?
Oh, I'm so glad that we're starting here. And I actually chuckled when I saw your video about balance. And so I've written The Future is Greater, A Working Mother's Guide to Finding Balance. And interestingly, that title was suggested to me. And when I first saw the suggestion of A Working Mother's Guide to Finding Balance, I was like, can we really find balance? Do I really want to call my book this? But interestingly, and I talk a lot in the book about when we get a thought, don't just react to the thought. Take a moment, check in and say, is this really where I want to go? So that's exactly what I did when I felt with the title. And then I was leaning more to actually calling my book this. And I said, why? You know, why? And I felt led to go and actually search for a dictionary definition of balance. Because, you know, balance, the way I think about it and don't like it at is basically 50-50. You have your work, you have your life, and there's only two things you've got going on and you balance them. For most moms, that is impossible. That is silly, really. And it makes you feel like you're failing everywhere. So I went to the dictionary, I Googled balance. Oxford Dictionary came up with, if you think of balance as a noun, balance is, you know, trying to distribute the weight of something evenly. We can't do that. However, if you think of balance as a verb, it is the act of stabilizing something so it doesn't fall. So she stabilized, or she balanced her mug on the table so it wouldn't fall. And something just resonated within me. My goal with this book is not to help mothers find some impossible balance of 50-50. It is to stabilize them so they don't fall for the lies that we have to be perfect. So they don't fall for what society tells them that they should do. So they don't fall for the lies that we're not enough. All the things that go on and on in our heads. I want to stabilize moms and help them find that balance. So that's my goal with the book.
Yeah, it's so fascinating, isn't it? How just a word can bring up so much. Yeah. And I love that idea that it's stabilizing us to be true to what we want to focus on, which is what I talk about with boundaries, right?
Exactly.
I'm saying you have to understand what is important to you.
100%.
Let go of the rest, put boundaries in and go all in on what actually matters,
yes.
Not what you think should matter or what your friend thinks that matter or your partner or your kids. Yeah. What matters to you.
And it's going to be different from everybody else.
Of course.
And it could be different for you in your 20s, 30s, 40s, as has been the case for me. So you've got to really understand who am I in this moment and what makes the most sense.
How did you get to these insights?
Oh, it's been such a long journey. Like literally, my life has spanned. Most people that have read the book so far think, woman, you're crazy. It's spanned from homelessness, addiction, all kinds of crazy stuff, literally on the streets with nowhere to go, £3 in my pocket, through to...
How did you get there?
Wow. So interestingly, I was, you know, grew up in a family, you know, lovely people. However, I was a child who was very quiet, very shy. I never shared really what I was feeling. I bottled up emotions. And literally after years and years of bottling up emotions, one day I just snapped after a row about something completely, you know, when you compare it, it didn't really warrant running away. I ran away from home. And literally, it was one stupid decision after another. You date the wrong guy, you make falling with the wrong crowd. And literally, I found myself, and I share this in the book, down to my last £3 coins. And someone said to me, literally, you might as well become a prostitute because that's all you're good for. And it sounds so insulting, but that person was right. I was a mess. And literally, from that point, I began. That was the first time, actually, I shared this in the book. I tapped into the powerful intuition we all had because I stood there literally with £3 coins thinking, I'm going to follow this advice because what else can I do? I heard within me, this is not who you're meant to be. You're meant for so much more. And I remember in that moment, I was 18, 19, thinking, okay, there's nothing that says that that's the truth, but I want so desperately for that to be the truth. I'm going to believe it. So basically that gave me the courage I needed to run out of that room. And I've been tapping into that intuition ever since. I now learned that that's what it is. It led me back into the school system I dropped out of. I graduated top of my class, ended up going to Cambridge for my MBA, building this incredible career internationally and now in business. And it's all from really trusting that guidance that we can all access within us. And literally in terms of these insights for the book, it's been that sometimes in the moment, you don't really know what's going on. But when you look back, your success, or in my case, really deep failures, they leave footprints. And I've been able to say, okay, what has my success or my failures taught me? And how can I apply that as a mom and as a person moving forward? So it's been trial and error. Now I've worked with clients. I've been an executive coach, life coach for 8 years. So it's what has worked in clients' lives, what has worked in my life, what has not worked, that I've learned how to navigate motherhood.
Just go back to that. Woman stood on the pavement, £3 in her pocket. And you hear that voice that says, this is not what you're meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
And you choose to listen to it. Mm-hmm. What's the next action that you took?
Well, the next action is to run out of the room of, literally I was there for the interview for this job, right? So I had to run out of there and say, okay, this is not who I'm meant to be. However, I was still on my own. I still had nothing. So it was the days of when you had those red phone boxes that could be your phone. We didn't have mobiles. So I literally sat in a phone box in the middle of the night wondering, what's my next move? What is my next move? And I remember thinking, okay, no, actually, what am I going to do? This is so stupid. I spent the whole night thinking, what do I do next?
Sat in a phone box.
What do I do next? And somehow I knew to tap back instinctively to that voice. And it's just, I kept on hearing learn. I'm like, learn what? So it was just so bizarre. Anyway, the day was finally breaking. So I come out of the phone box thinking I better go do something else. And I remember, and I write about this in the book, I remember walking past this newspaper stand and seeing the word learn. And I'd heard it like 30 something times that night. And I was like, oh my gosh, I must buy this paper that says learn. So it was worth me taking £1, which is literally one third of all I had, to buy this paper. And I bought this paper and discovered that this was the time, I don't know if you've heard of clearing in the UK, where if you don't get the grades required for uni, then you can go through clearing and see what universities have spaces. So the paper was saying that now is the time for clearing, you can go get help. So I literally pick up this newspaper, realize it's clearing, I made a call and got into, back into university. And that's how. And I share that to say that sometimes as mums, you know, it can feel so overwhelming, the challenges, all the pressure, you don't see how you're going to make it through. But if you just get quiet for a moment and trust that voice within you, it will lead you. It will show you the way out. So for me, I literally followed that voice and it led me to learn back into a school system and then all I shared with you. So literally that powerful, I call it divine guidance that we can access. So to answer your question, I didn't know what I was doing when I said, oh yeah. But and that's like us in motherhood. Sometimes you feel like you don't know what you're doing, but take those moments and quieten down and say, what is my best next step? What do I do?
How do you help someone who might do that and they hear nothing?
That is so true, because sometimes we hear nothing. Yeah. And even me, having done this for decades now, this decades ago, sometimes I hear nothing. And it might just be who you are. So some people are more visual learners. Some people, you know, they like to write. So if you're not hearing something, some way that I kind of get this guidance is through journaling. Mm-hmm. So I sit down. So the key is you're trying to ask yourself great questions. Like, you're not trying to respond to your environment, because your environment tells you, you don't know what you're doing. Your kids are out of control. All the negativity we hear from that inner critic. You're trying to silence all that nonsense and tap into your intuition with great questions. So if you're not hearing anything, if you're asking that, maybe you're somebody who likes to be visual. So sometimes you might go out into nature. Aha, my idea comes. Or I sit down with a book, with a journal, and I journal answers or just anything. No pressure on myself. Just write. And somehow I know I've hit something profound. So you've got to maybe say, am I trying to go about this a way that's not really how I learn or how I access information, and try something else?
What's a great question?
So great question. It could be anything, because we're all different. But I say what makes a question great as opposed to not great is, do I really want to know the answer to this? And will it move me closer to where I want to be? So I'll explain what I mean by sharing a not so great question I've heard myself and many mums ask is, what's wrong with me?
Yes.
Or what's wrong with you?
I was just thinking, what's wrong with me?
We don't want to know what's wrong with anyone else. We don't want to know what's wrong with you. We want to know, how are we going to get calm? How are we going to get this house under control? How are we going to feel better? That's what we want to really know. It's not what's wrong with anybody, unless we really need to know what's wrong with anybody. So a great question is like, do I really want to know the answer to this? And will it move me closer to what it is that I want to achieve in my life?
Yeah, that's so true. It's like that sort of, I love asking myself this question in my journal, which is, you know, what's this trying to teach me?
Yes.
What's this trying to show me?
Oh, so good.
Every time I ask that question, good. I get an unbelievable insight.
100%.
Not straight away. There's a lot of crap that comes out first in my writing where I'm just like raging about something.
Yeah. But then, and we need that.
This voice is not mine, is the only way to describe it. Like, it comes through and it's like these really big sort of whys. It feels like magic.
Yeah. And it's there. And I think sometimes we do need to vent. We need to get those. That's why I love journaling.
Yeah.
I get it all out. And I think, you know, depending on everybody, like, you know, I am a person of faith. If you're a person of faith, that's a good time to pray, because usually you can get that insight, right? So once you've got all that venting and frustration out, then clarity comes. I love that question about, what is this trying to teach me?
Yeah.
Because often you can go through life feeling like a victim. I used to say, oh, why does it always keep happening to me, when there was stuff with my kids clashing with work? And the answer to that not so great question was, it keeps happening to you because you're at the stage in life where you have this job and you have young kids, not helpful. But what is this trying to teach me? It's a so much more powerful question. And I could vent and I could write all the things in my journal. But once I get to those kinds of questions, it's trying to teach me patience, or it's trying to teach me to be more resilient. It's trying to teach me to adapt. It's trying to teach me compassion. And I think it's so powerful. It shifts you out of being a victim, potentially, to being someone who's so much more powerful.
Yeah, it's true. It's really true. Like, that's why I talk about, you know, Motherkind is empowerment for mothers. And lots of people say, what does that mean? And I'm like, exactly what you're talking to. Mm-hmm. It's where we can tap into our own strength and be less pulled and confused and lost by everything that's going on outside of us.
Yes.
So we were talking about this new sort of version of balance, which is, you know, a strong core, feeling grounded so we don't fall over. Yes. What are some of the times when you have fallen over? Like, you had a really horrific experience with your son.
Yeah. Yes.
Tell us about those and how this idea and these tools have helped you to get back on your feet, back stabilized.
Yeah. So I really hope, you know, just one in, listen, I'm going to talk about, literally, I open up my book, actually lying in a pool of blood, you know, after medical mistakes, giving birth to my son. And, you know, during the delivery, I almost didn't make it. I had to have emergency surgery. And, you know, you have these birth plans of, oh, the child's going to be born and we're going to be smiling and, you know, all of these things. That was all out the window when first hour of his life, he's across the room and there's people running all over the place, blood everywhere. They managed to save my life, thankfully. After many days, we go home thinking, and I'm still not feeling right. I then wake up 11 days later in this pool of blood. And they say, like, your life flashes before your eyes when you die. And that's exactly what happened to me. I started to see scenes from Nigeria, different countries, places I'd lived. And the scariest thing, it wasn't scary at the time, it felt amazing, was there was a light that appeared to the right. And it's, oh, you know, I just knew that if I went to this light, everything would be okay. And as I was heading to that light, I could sense, coming back to your question about how has this stabilized me and ground me, I was heading to that light. I sensed this intuition or voice say, no, don't go, look up to the left. Now, at this point, I'd lost about 3 liters of blood, which is like half the blood in your body. And I was so weak, like my head was heavy. I was like, no, I just want to get to that light. But this thing was just persistent, persistent, persistent. So finally, I thought, well, if I'm dying, up to the left might as well be the last thing I see. So I remember finally just stabilizing myself, tuning into that voice, looking up to the left. And Zoe, honestly, it was like a bolt of lightning went through me when I looked up to the left, because up there was my little boy. I wasn't even thinking about him. He was asleep in his cot. And I suddenly realized, if I die, which going to the light means, I've chosen to breastfeed this child. Like, there's literally nothing in the house. By the time his dad gets done with dealing with his dead wife and remembers, oh, I've got to buy a bottle and buy milk, he could starve. My daughter's asleep on our bed. And I suddenly realized, oh my gosh, I can't die. And that gave me the strength to kind of really come back to my senses, realize, oh goodness me, there's ambulance crew here, answer their questions, rush back to the hospital and save my life. So I think, in the chaos of life, that's one extreme example. There's been other examples in everyday life where it's just felt so overwhelming. Quieting down and just say, okay, what is the truth right now? And for me, my truth was, I need to be here to give life to this family. I need to be here to literally, I was a food source. That was my purpose in that moment. And in any moment, for any of us, if you just quieten things down and say, what is, again, my best next step? Or what do I need to be? Who do I need to be able to manage this really difficult moment? It's so powerful.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stresses, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. And therapy is a space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down. Therapy is just an incredible, safe, non-judgmental space. I absolutely love it. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which I think as busy mums is what we all need. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/motherkind today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/motherkind.
What an unbelievable story.
Yeah, it's crazy.
How did that change you?
Honestly, there was many, many months afterwards where I wondered, goodness me, was it worth fighting for? Because after this, we went into the pandemic and just so much other chaos that happened. But it's changed me in the sense that I'm so driven by purpose right now. Like before, I used to kind of just go through the, you know, day to day. But when you look at death in the face and you realize none of us really know how long we have, I've got to leave my mark on this earth. So whereas I used to settle for so much, you know, as a mom, I'm like, oh, I'd put myself last, or, oh, it doesn't really matter. It does matter. Like what we think matters, we are important, because literally thinking about myself for a moment, save my life, save my children, save the clients that I've got to work with, save the people who are going to read my book, I matter. And it's given me this drive to just really be who I'm meant to be, do what I'm here to do. And I think that's the truth for all of us. We're so easily kind of just put what we want to the side as if it's a nice to have. It could be, it's a must have. You and what is trying to come forth through you, it's a must have. especially as a mom, because we give life to everything and everybody around us. And when we shut ourselves down, we have no idea. We think we're being sacrificial, or, you know, it looks as like a badge of honor to put yourself last. But actually, you could be doing your family a disservice. We can't put ourselves last. We need to put ourselves first, because that's how they get the best. So for me, it's really living intentionally as I'm here for a purpose, and I've got to live out that purpose. I can't settle for anything less, because it affects my children, it affects everybody around me. So that's kind of the different approach to life. I used to, you know, think, oh, what I think is not that important. It is. It's very important. So I think that that switch flipped for me through this experience.
How's that impacted your children, do you think?
Oh my gosh. Honestly, it's so funny, because at first they'll tell you things like, my daughter knows, like, for example, putting myself first on a day-to-day looks like mommy exercises for 10 minutes a day, right? So I exercise for 10 minutes a day, and that's my time. So initially they'd be like, oh, why I want to play with you? That was the 10 minutes they want to play with me. So at first initially impacted them, like, why she got all these boundaries, as you said, right? But actually, it's just so amazing to see that even my daughter now, she's like, no, this is my time, and she protects what's important to her. And me in doing this, yes, of course it helps me, but I want to raise my children to be people who actually, I'm not going to, you know, sacrifice and get resentful because I'm not getting what I want when I'm putting myself. I want them to be somebody that actually gives themselves what they need, not just to be selfish or obnoxious or whatever, but give yourself what you need. So I see them doing it as well. And I see them respecting my time. My daughter was so funny yesterday. She came up to me when I was exercising. Mommy, oh no, it's your time actually. And I was like, wow, she realizes there's a boundary in place. So it's teaching my children to respect other people's space, and it's teaching them to actually think about what's important to them in a world that will try to tell them, oh, you're this, you're that. Knowing who they are, to me, is such an it's a powerful lesson to give them.
I think knowing who you are and what's important to you feels like a superpower in motherhood.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because the world will try and tell you what you should be doing. And like, you know, everybody has a good idea. And like, literally, even when you think you know what you're doing, you go on social media and like, oh, maybe I should be doing that. So knowing that actually, you know, it's okay. I don't need to have a fear of missing out. I have the joy of missing out, because this is not my path right now. And another thing that I hated was this old phrase of having it all. And I agree with like this whole misconception, oh, you've got to have it all. But I do have it all. I have all I need right now. I have no desire to be in the corporate world like I was. And that's what having it all looks like. You're climbing up the corporate ladder. You do this, did it. No, I have no desire. That's not part of the all I want. I have the all I want. And I think every mother, once you get clear on the all you want, you can have it. The issue that we have is when we are trying to have the all of what everybody else wants. Get clear on what your all is and you can have it. And it looks so different in every season of life. Like in my 20s, when I was, you know, a teen on the street, having it all looked like, oh my goodness, I need a roof over my head. And once I got it, I had it all. And then education. And now in this space, for me, it's about the impact on my readers. It's about the impact on my clients. That's the all I want in my life right now. And I have it. So as moms, getting clear on what is my all, that is powerful, because then when you're on social media, oh, that's nice for them, but that's not part of my all right now. I can be happy for you, but I have no desire to be doing that, you know? So I think the clearer we can be on what our all looks like, the more likely we can have it.
Yeah, I think that's so true, because that phrase has come to mean like almost a societal prescription of what we should want.
Absolutely.
And I think that's such a going back to powerful questions, which is like, what would that look like for
exactly.
me? Like, what do I want?
Exactly.
What do I want?
Exactly. I mean, for me, when I started off in business, having it all look like we were in Scandinavia at the time, I wanted to be the top boutique consultancy in Scandinavia. Fly here, do this, speak here, do that. I did that. But right now, with two young children, one with additional needs, the younger one, that is not my all. That's the last thing I want to do. So right now, my all looks like building a business that allows me to be there for my children. And I have it all. So it's clear on for this season of life, for these beautiful people I've been entrusted with that have their own ideas of what they want, what does having it all look like for me? And it changes, and you allow, give yourself the grace for it to change. But it's constantly checking with yourself. Is this somebody else's idea or is it my idea? And really being, I love your boundaries. Put a firm boundary when you see yourself straying into somebody's definition of all. Because people will sell you either through telling you should be doing this or portraying it in social media or suggesting or comments. They'll try to sell you their version of all. And if you're not careful, you end up trying to people. I have a chapter in a book called The Curse of Comparison and People Pleasing. Mm. And it's a real curse. You know, that's why so many moms I meet are unhappy.
I think that's so true, that people pleasing and comparison. Where does that come from?
Do you know, I honestly don't know. It's so funny. Like, I just think back, I was speaking to somebody about this. I moved from my family. I grew up in, like, born in Nigeria, moved to the UK, age 11. And I remember going to school with a Nigerian accent and thinking, oh my goodness, if I open up my mouth and speak in a Nigerian accent with all these kids with British accents, they're going to think, I don't know. We immediately compare ourselves. Even at age 11, I remember doing this.
Yeah.
So I can't even tell you where it comes from. But, you know, now, like, and I didn't speak actually that day until I had a perfect English accent in my head. Thankfully, I learned quickly, so it happened by lunchtime. But like now, I mean, how stupid. Now I would never do that. But this is what happens, like, to us. We immediately think, oh, am I good enough?
Yeah, I have to, you know, fit in.
I need to fit in. Like, and actually, we were never born to fit in. We need to bring our flavor. The world needs everyone to bring their flavor. So now I would never do that. But there's other things I find myself comparing. Like, is this good enough? And I'm like, no, it is good enough. You know, and interestingly, I just don't know where it comes from. And I know almost everybody does it.
It's true.
Yeah.
And the comparison, I think one of the hardest things about comparison in motherhood is that, particularly in those baby groups, because everyone's going through the same thing at the same time. Yeah. It's so easy to be like, I remember the whole sleeping through the night thing. Gosh. It's your sleeping through the night. And I'm in my group of eight NCT, I was the last that we would sleep through, that mine would sleep through the night. And I just remember thinking, what am I doing wrong? Yes. I was frantically Googling.
Yeah.
It's so hard to stay in your power.
Definitely.
And be like, I am on my path with this. My exactly. child is on their path with it. It will unfold as it's meant.
100%.
Because it's almost like they're set up for comparison, those
honestly,
groups.
Seriously, and coming to the sleep topic, my first child slept through the night from 6 weeks, and I thought that's what babies did. The other, the four-year-old now, sometimes still doesn't sleep through the night.
Yeah.
And we kind of beat ourselves up over things that we can't control. And I remember, you know, dealing with postnatal depression, I didn't know it at the time, going into one of these mums groups and just feeling, going for support and just feeling judged and so much worse. And I just think, goodness me, most mums I meet are trying their best. Like, nobody's deliberately, if you're trying your best, you know, that's good enough. Don't judge anybody by your standards. That might not work for them.
Exactly.
So I think, yeah, those groups sometimes don't help, which is why I love, you know, platforms like yours that just share, you know, real great helpful content that let people know that they can do better on their journey without being judgmental. I love that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just obsessed with, I mean, Motherkindness is about that empowerment idea.
I
think if we can tap into that confidence within us, and of course we need support to get to that, but that's why I have people like you on and all these amazing people who can help us do that. It makes us more immune to that.
Yeah.
I'm not good enough. I'm failing.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with me. Yeah. I'm not a good enough mother. Yeah. And that is the soundtrack on a lot of mothers' heads.
Oh my gosh.
It was mine before I learned. Wow. You know, everything that I have.
Yeah, yeah. No, honestly, and that's probably the one thing I would say, if I had to, for all the mums, even like other people I coach as well, mums and other people, that's the underlying belief of most issues. I don't measure up. I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough somehow. And with mothers, it's especially tough because I think children are the most precious gift. And we're so scared that we're going to break them somehow.
Exactly.
And are we making the right choices? And we second guess ourselves. And that I'm not good enough thing, we need to stop that somehow. We really, really need to do. Each person needs to understand what it's going to take for them. Because I think the great tools and everything, they're really good, but each person is different. So what might work for me might not work for you. It's about finding what works for you and doing that. And trusting that actually you're not going to do it perfectly. Like even me, it's so funny. Like when I go through stuff, I say, what do I do now? And I sense, oh, go read chapter 3 of your book. Like nobody does it perfectly, right? So even the people that write the books need the help.
Yeah.
So I think just giving yourself that grace that we are humans, we're imperfect, and just try your best. Your kids don't, honestly, the times I felt like the worst mom ever, I've asked my child, oh, how was your day? Oh, it was the best, mummy. That hug you gave me. And she doesn't remember all the things I'm beating up myself in my head about, like the 15 million things. She's like, she pinpoints that one moment that I thought, you know, I'm just going to give you a hug because that's all I can do. So kids don't necessarily remember all the things we beat ourselves up about.
It's so true. I spoke to my mum about this. And, you know, I know a lot of the things that she feels guilty about, like A, that I don't remember.
Mm.
I just remember the love.
Yeah.
Like, of course she wasn't perfect, but I just remember the love.
Yeah.
I remember the feeling
of
being around her and I could tell that I was loved.
Yeah.
That's what I remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wrote her a letter.
Oh.
Yeah, when I first became a mum, because I realised the sacrifice. It makes me so emotional.
I'm actually quite emotional.
And I started it with, thank you for the idea of me. Thank you for, you know, carrying me, birthing me. And it was 30 pages, this letter, and I thanked her for every single thing that I could think of. And she said that, I'm sure she won't mind me saying, she said that she just released so much guilt that day that she was holding, even subconsciously.
Amazing. Oh, I'm so glad you did that. I think I might write my mum a letter because I give her sound bites here and there, but I think just putting it down in something that she can keep.
I'm not good at, like, even the job I do with my family. I'm not good at the one-to-one emotional intimacy thing. I'm better at writing stuff down. So I send nice messages, nice letters. That works for me.
Oh, and it's so powerful. I touch on this in my book. It's your love language.
Yeah,
words.
That's words in my love language.
Yeah, yeah. It's not my thing. Like, it's a guy called Gary Chapman that wrote the book, Five Love Languages. But yeah, I know that what my love language is and I do that. But that's so powerful because I think words resonate with everybody there. You know, that saying, oh, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words never hurt me. No, words are powerful to hurt and heal. So I just love that you did that.
I think it's the opposite, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, words stick with us.
They
those things that
us.
We were told in the playground when we were six.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where those beliefs of I'm not enough get formed,
exactly.
Right? There's what we need to go back and, you know, and change. Yeah, it's important, isn't it?
So, so important.
I always ask the same question at the end. Which is, if you could give just one gift to all the mothers in the world, what would that gift be and why?
Oh, can I give two?
Of course you can.
Okay.
There's no rules here.
So the first one, because we talked about this whole I'm not good enough thing. And if I could give a gift to every mom, it would be you are enough. Just as you are, not till you get your life sorted out or till you get the house to the level you want it to, or all of these things we tell ourselves that we have to do to finally be enough. You're enough right now. Because for me, when I first became a mom, age 34, on the outside looking in, I had it made where, you know, Cambridge grad, living in, you know, Norway with the man of my dreams, all these things. But inside, I felt not enough. And I'd built up this life that looked successful. And then it all collapsed on the ground around me during the pandemic. And I felt like, oh my goodness, I've lost everything. I'm definitely not enough. But from that point, I began to build. And I realized, okay, I'd linked my identity to all of these things. And actually, even with them, I still felt it's not enough. Who am I without all of that? And I began to build my life again from the point, well, I'm actually enough, even though my whole world's crumbled around me. And now that I've kind of built back up way better than I had before, even if I was to lose it all again, I'm still enough at the core. And to every mom, you're still enough at the core, regardless of what you have or you don't have. Just keep trying your best. Keep showing up. So that's my first gift. The second one I'd love to give you is that anything's possible. You heard my story. I used to cringe sharing it. Now I don't, because I see how it transforms people's lives. We tell ourselves that, oh my gosh, things can be so intense. I just have to settle. Like, you know, I remember people said to me, what choice do people like you have anyway? Just, you know, keep digging yourself into rock bottom, you know, keep ruining your life even further. And it can look like that as moms at times where we think, what choice do I have anyway? But to just settle, to just put myself last, to just, you know, live this life that's so low compared to our potential. And I want to tell you those words I heard in my heart for the first time. I realized my intuition was there. If you're settling, this is not who you're meant to be. You're meant for so much more. Anything is possible. If I could go from there to do, see, experience, be all I've been since then, you can do that too in your own life, in your own story. So anything's possible, dream big and go for it.
That's beautiful. Thank you.
My pleasure.
What an incredible message.
I hope it helps. And let me know, reach out, tell me. Tell me what you've done, that audacious thing that you were settling and thinking maybe it's not for me. So many people, when they come back and tell me, I did this, it's the best feeling ever for me to hear that.
And the book's out now.
The book's out now and the future's greater. It will give you tools to do all of that and dream big. And you will see so many examples of women that did that in there.
Thank you.
So welcome. My pleasure.